This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Think that a kiss is on the lips, come on. You got it all wrong, man. And if you think that our dance was all in the hips, oh well, then do the twist. If you think holding hands is all in the fingers, grab hold of the soul where the memory remains. And make sure to never do it with a singer, cause I'll tell everyone in the world what he was thinking about the girl. Yeah, what he's thinking about the girl. Oh, a lot of people get confused and they bruise real easy when it comes to love. But the feeling that you're under can really make you wonder how the hell she could be so cold. So now you're left denying the truth, and it's hidden in the wisdom in the back of your tooth. You need to spit it out in the telephone booth while you call everyone that you know and ask them, where do you think she goes? Oh yeah, where do you suppose she goes? Oh, the truth where you know there's no stopping it, and the phone where you know she's still rocking it. Yeah. And the soul plays a role of a lost little kitten. But you should know that the doctor's one kitten. She'd been singing it all along, but you were hearing a different song. Yeah, you were hearing a different song, but you were hearing a different song.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
It's 12:02, they call me Mark Dolan, and this is Mark Dolan Eats the News.
Mark Dolan Eats the News on FUBAR Radio.
Joining me in the studio to attack the news agenda like hungry wolves are the amazing, brilliant comedian, Mr. Nick Dixon, and the amazing, brilliant comedienne, Shazia Mirza. Now, Shazia, you can't really say comedienne, can you? That's, like, politically incorrect.
Yeah, but I'm like every other man now.
Are you really? Now, can I ask you, at the moment I've got a problem on guest mic two. It sounds like a blizzard. Would you mind just moving to my left onto guest number one? Do you know the lovely thing about radio, Nick, is you don't see the joins. It's all smoke and mirrors, isn't it?
That's so sexist.
I know. I haven't
moving
even talked
me to this one.
Yeah, you're on the relegated microphone. However, we must hear your pearls of wisdom. Listen, Shazia, you've just arrived. You still got your duffel coat on.
It's not duffel coat. What era are you in, Mark? This is not duffel.
It's like Paddington Bear's younger, more attractive sister.
This is a very nice Swedish fur coat from Stockholm. Thank you.
Wasted on the radio. Now, tell me this. First of all, you're here. You're both very welcome. We've got lots of big stories to get through. Europe, the economy, and much, much more. The first thing we'll kick off with is International World Book Day, which is happening today. It's the 3rd of March, which is what today is. Now, I've got to say, I'm not really bothering with World Book Day. I'm going to wait for the film of World Book Day. But Nick Dixon...
Nice.
What's your... Thanks very much. I can wait for the laughs. I don't mind. what's the greatest book you've ever read?
My favourite book... Well, I didn't know you were going to ask me this until 5 seconds ago.
That's how I roll.
My favourite book is called The Loser by Thomas Bernhard, who's an obscure Austrian writer. So you weren't expecting
not
that,
not obscure anymore.
Yeah,
his name has just pulsated through the FUBAR airwaves. Bernhard, what's his face?
Thomas Bernhard. It's a great... Thomas Bernhard. One of the great novelists of history. Basically, the book's about two piano players watch Glenn Gould play piano, and because he's such a genius, one of them gives up and never plays piano again. The other one tries to carry on and goes mad and kills himself. It's a great read.
Yeah, you're not selling it, I've got to say. So, amazingly, that's not in pre-production in Hollywood.
No, and I could have said the psychopath.
Tom Cruise
test
is not
well.
Slated to play the pianist anytime soon.
No, you won't see that anytime in a movie.
Is it the definition of a good book if it gets made into a movie? Is that the seal of approval? It equals a good book.
No, I think a really good book you can't make into a movie. I think, isn't that the exact opposite of what you just said?
It's a very good point. Actually, the Rosie and Jim children's cartoon series, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that would never work on the big screen.
No, that's true. American Psycho was a good book, bad movie. There's countless examples of that. There's not that many examples of a good book that's also a good movie.
Shazia Mirza.
Hello,
I know
Mark
you to
Doolan.
Be an intellectual. You're a reader and a thinker and a woman about town.
Am I?
And a wearer of overpriced... cottage.
Woman about town. You make me sound like a real tart.
A bit of a street woman.
You know I'm not.
The only thing you spread around is your genius comedy.
But the thing is, Mark, it's so nice. So nice to see you. The last time I saw Mark, I met him in a sauna.
This is actually true. I'm glad you've decided not to ask my opening question, because you and I in a sauna is a bigger story, if I'm honest.
Was it one of those naked saunas?
No.
It was for me.
We had to keep our clothes on. It was a bit awkward, actually. It was me, Mark, and Mark's wife.
What was weird?
Does he have a six-pack? That's what I want to know.
No.
No, but his wife did.
A one-pack. Basically, Shazia was in, and I can tell. You can tell Shazia is quite shy because I mean I'm in like swimming trunks and I've got a small towel. My missus is in her swimwear and a small towel. Shazia was wearing her expensive Swedish overcoat.
No, I wasn't.
She was wearing this fur-lined monstrosity. No, it's not.
I was
gorgeous.
Wearing my Speedo swimming costume.
What's awkward about it is we're all three of us are comedians allegedly, and you can rest assured we're never going to have to see each other's bodies. And it happened that day, and I feel like your whole world fell apart, Mirza.
Well, you know what? You just don't expect to see people you know in a sauna. And it's seeing people out of context. You just think, you know, I'm just used to seeing Mark on stage telling jokes. What is he doing in the sauna?
Yeah. Although there are parallels, because you see me on stage sweating. Yes. And
struggling.
Yeah, struggling, yeah. Looking at the clock, wanting to get out as soon as possible.
That's right.
I just want to say, I know we're on the radio, but I'm in quite good shape, so I'd be fine with it.
Well, you
I
are, you are.
Push-ups.
What do you do?
I do push-ups, I do pull-ups. I've got these special push-up discs that they twist. I can talk about it all day, I won't.
So you're a fitness fanatic?
I'm not a fitness fanatic. I'm doing a bit of... Because I had to go away to LA and I was worried...
Oh, that's a lovely sentence.
I just threw it in there.
No one has to go to LA.
I know, I just threw it in there for no reason.
I've been a Kafkaesque adventure.
I've been throwing that into all sentences. I've just been at the supermarket going, oh, sorry, I've only got dollars, just been in LA. I was at the self-service, didn't need to say anything. Anyway, that's a little joke for the listeners.
That's a very good joke.
Yeah, thanks. I seamlessly put it in there as if it was improvised. No, I didn't. But I made it look improvised for a second.
You'd be very good on chat shows.
Thanks. I should be on more of them.
Well, it's just a matter of time. So you were made to go to LA,
no,
and then what happened?
I've been in LA largely to see my girlfriend, if I'm honest, and then also to do...
Is your girlfriend Kim Kardashian? And are you her stalker?
Yes. Yeah. No, I have a lovely girlfriend in LA. It's 5,400 miles away. That's a pretty wide Tinder radius I set on that one, Mark. That's another joke. You can keep that one as well.
This is all gold. You know, I think you're at your best lunchtime.
Thanks, mate.
Where does she live in LA?
Echo Park in East LA.
Yeah, I know it.
You know it?
Yeah, yeah. I go to LA a lot.
Mirza pretending to know it just to sound exotic.
I do really well in America. They think I'm Mexican. It's amazing.
Is that right?
They just offer me cleaning jobs.
So you wouldn't, under President Trump.
But Donald Trump doesn't love you.
You're not getting in the country, are you?
That's weird, you know. He doesn't like immigrants, but all his wives have been Eastern European hookers, haven't they?
It's funny that.
Yeah.
Now, your favourite book?
My favourite book is A Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
Okay.
God, why can't any of you like read Dan Brown novels? Do you guys not like anything popular?
Because we're educated, Mark.
I mean, is Stephen King so bad? Yeah. Come on, guys, get with the programme.
Dan Brown, your kids could write better than that.
They could write longer sentences, that's true. Can I? I'm going to write, like a pensioner, I'm going to write it down. So can you tell me again, please?
A Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
About the Holocaust.
Well, he was a psychiatrist and he was in one of the concentration camps during the Holocaust. divorced, and all his family died. All his family were perished. Everybody he knew died.
And this is a comedy.
And he is. It's very funny, and it's very funny because this is what it's about.
You're joking me.
It's about black humour, and he was the only one that survived. And he talks about, from a psychiatric point of view, why he thinks he survived. And a lot of it, he said, is to do with black humour, the things that they used to laugh about when they were in there. It was humour and memories. So that's what kept him going.
This is an interesting one.
Didn't he also discover that meaning's like not inherent, like you have to find your own meaning in things?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I only read the first third of it, I'm going to be honest.
If you think
it's not a very big book.
It's quite short, but I still didn't finish it. But anyway, I feel a bit bad about that.
If you think you're listening to FUBAR Radio, you're not listening to Radio 4, the book club. I'm Jenny Murray. I've had a sex change and lost the weight.
Oh, haven't we all? I mean, it's all the rage now, isn't it?
Now, it is all the rage, isn't it? I have many Jewish friends who have a sort of quite black gallows humour about the Holocaust. Mm. And it's strange because I'm not Jewish, so I can't really join that humour because I'm not Jewish. But at the same time, because they're my friends and they joke about it, I sort of have to laugh when they make jokes about the Holocaust. Have you witnessed this among Jewish friends, that even now, all those generations later, there's still, I mean, predominantly what there is just abject horror about it. But that humour, I think, all the Jewish friends I know make jokes about the Holocaust.
Every single one of my Jewish friends always joke. They are the first to joke about the Holocaust. That's how they got through it.
Yeah.
That's how they got through it, was their comedy and their humour. And that's what Viktor Frankl talks about. It's like memories are important and humour is important. And it's just so dark, but that's what you have to do to get through it. And that's why he says he survived.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. And I'm going to recommend A Confederacy of Dunces, which is a classic novel. I don't know if you're familiar with
John Kennedy Toole.
John Kennedy Toole, bless you for knowing that.
Very early. He wrote that book, Neon Bible, and then he wrote Confederacy of Dunces, and then he killed himself.
Wait, a little bit of a reader beaver here.
I've got an MA in literature. Do you not know that?
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Don't even mess with me.
I'm going to... what we'll do is I might make a commitment to read A Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl and Thomas Bernhardt's...
The Loser.
The Loser, okay?
That's a translated title.
And I'm going to do a deal with you and get you guys to read A Confederacy of Dunces. It's the least marketable title for a book in the history of books.
Yeah, yeah.
However, it's extremely funny. It's an Irish-American New York writer called John Kennedy Toole. He lived with his mother. He had a very eccentric relationship. He was a funny guy. He was very much in the tradition of sort of Flann O'Brien and some of the kind of lighter aspects of James Joyce. Very stream of consciousness, very surreal, very vivid, very absurd, and ultimately just funny. And this book is, he's just created this monstrous character called Ignatius C. Riley, I think is the name of the character, or Ignatius Riley,
who's
this obese freak who lives with his mother. By the way, I'm getting confused. John Kennedy Toole did not live with his mother. The character of Ignatius did. Anyway, do you know what? You cannot get people on the radio, listening on the radio, to go and buy a book because of how it's been described, because it's just so hard. I'm just going to tell you the provenance of the book, which is as follows. He was a lecturer in English literature somewhere, or indeed creative writing. He's basically a teacher. And he'd written this book, and he loved it, but he had all sorts of psychological problems and was depressed, and I don't think just managed to... He wasn't very good at admin and, like, getting it sent to people and stuff like that, which might sound familiar to these comedians, I don't know, just me. Anyway, so he died with his unfulfilled great work, never published, you see. And his mother, he died, and he died young, as you say. His mother said, I'm going to make it my life's work, as long as I'm here on this planet, to get this thing published, A Confederacy of Dunces. Anyway, there is a book about how she did it. And she used to go and visit people, like publishers, and refuse to leave. And she was like this funny little Irish old lady, you know. And she would stalk the publishers. In the end, one of them reluctantly agreed to read it. And went, yes, this is brilliant. I'll publish it now, straight away. Anyhow, within 2 years, it had won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction, which is the top literary award, I think it's fair to say, in the English-speaking language. Yeah. To Kill a Mockingbird, Catcher in the Rye, in reasonable company. And it's one of the greatest novels ever written, but crucially, the funniest book I've ever read. So there you go. That's A Confederacy of Dunces. A Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl. Thomas Bernhardt, The Loser. Now let's talk about blowjobs and online dating. Nick Dixon.
Why did that those go together?
It was a deliberate attempt to do a bit of a handbrake turn and get cracking on one of the biggest stories of the week, which is a great deal of consternation and suspicion about the risks of online dating. Now, online dating is absolutely huge now. It's like, I would conjecture
do you
the
do it, Mark?
Main way I do. I've only really got into it since I got married. And... I think the people that do it are very lucky, because what you're doing, I think online dating is simple. It's just a way of connecting people who want to say, I'm available, I'm interested in being in a relationship. Because I'm old enough to have been in a dating game before online dating. Pre-internet is my wild years.
The natural way.
The natural way. And what happened is that I just spend a lot of energy chatting to people at parties, and I'd sacrifice a whole evening talking to someone, trying to be hilarious, using a lot of energy.
That's hard for you.
Correct. And then they'd be like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. You must meet my boyfriend. He's really funny too.
Boom.
Right at the end of the night. And I wasn't cross about that. It's just like, well, that's life. These things happen. So I think online dating...
Isn't that an amazing moment, by the way?
It removes, it filters those people out.
Isn't that, sorry, I didn't want to ruin your thing, but isn't that, that's such an amazing moment for a man when I've got a girlfriend, I don't have to worry about it. But when a girl, you're talking to her, then she suddenly drops in that boyfriend bomb. And she has to do it. There's no real, she can't not do it. She's always bound to do it, but at the same time when she does it, you have to pretend to be fine. And that's like when a man is the most cool. Well, our face will be completely, well, oh yeah, what's he do? And we're completely calm, but inside we're going, well, this is pointless. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're angry, irrationally, I think. You know, it's not fair, but we're just like, we have to pretend to be cool with it. That's correct, isn't it?
Shazia, you're
a lady.
I'm a
woman, yeah. Well, as far as I know. The thing is, I think these women are sometimes testing the guy to see, do I like him? Oh, is he worth ditching my boyfriend for? And I think it's a bit of a test.
And
at the end of the night, they go, nah, my boyfriend is actually better. I'll just go with him. I'll just stay with him.
So I got through the first round of interviews. But I didn't get the final interview.
You didn't get a recall, Mark.
No recall. Well, I mean, I'm sure that's true. Ultimately, it's. I wonder whether it's just a little bit like it's the internet doing arranged marriage somehow, isn't it?
Well, you're picking people, and they're picking you.
But the internet is scouring people who are available, and in a way, it's like a selection process. You know, there's still an algorithm matches you up to someone else, isn't there?
I think it's a very dark side.
Well, there used to be an auntie, now it's an algorithm.
I think there's a dark side to it, because a lot of people on the internet and go on online dating are actually very vulnerable. Mm. You know, there's a lot of divorced women with kids.
They're my favourite ones.
What, the divorced women with kids?
Yeah.
Those are the ones that like you, Mark.
I like desperate,
not the young, energetic, exciting, dynamic women.
I like women who have let themselves go and who have lost faith in life, really.
There's an actual website for that, Mark.
I can't even get those. I don't have to. I'm luckily very happily married, but I suppose if I was out there, my sons are now young, but when they get into it, they'll be on, the first thing they'll download is Tinder.
But you know what? You all say you're happily married, but it's always the happily married people that always get women coming up to them and chatting them up. Because you are so happily married.
The problem you've got is that you're not on the hunt anymore. You don't have that desperation. I must get this woman. Instead, you're quite chilled out and relaxed.
And that's why people come up to you.
Which is appealing.
I've always seen women come up to you after gigs, Mark, and just chatting to you.
And well, then it's you how Nick Dixon and I met.
And then you drop it down at the end, I'm married. But you leave it for a while.
I do. We go out for dinner and we court for 3 weeks before I drop that bombshell.
I think a lot of them are just asking Mark how they get into comedy, aren't they?
Yeah, they are,
Can
actually.
Can you recommend some open
Is that
mics?
True?
Yeah. Yeah, they say, how do I get into comedy? And I go, well, I don't know. How do I get into you? And that's ruder than I expected. But Shazia, would you, first of all, I don't know what either of your marital stati are. Nick, are you in a relationship? And if not...
Have you not seen my Facebook updates, Mark? I mean, everyone's talking about it. Yeah, I'm in a relationship and it's...
You are?
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. It was quite
Oh, yeah, well,
new.
Sorry, you've got the girlfriend in LA.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I thought that was just... She was just your titillation for when you're stateside.
No, it's a real relationship, Mark. We might even... Who knows, we might even get married. I mean, not just for visa reasons.
Did you meet her on Tinternet?
No, which I'm very proud of. I've never really met anyone on those things. I tried them briefly. They didn't work out for me at all. A lot of the girls had a height requirement, I noticed. It's fine for me because I'm 5'9½", smashing it. But like,
bang.
A lot of girls were like, oh, how tall are you? It has to be at least 5'11". I'm like, are you a woman or a fairground ride? All right. That's another joke for you. I didn't do very well on them at all. My mate does very well on them. He was very confident. He just went out and met constant girls in a kind of cavalcade of women. Is that a word?
Yeah.
But I didn't like it. I was not comfortable with it at all.
He jumped on the lady train.
He did. Well, I don't know what we can say on the radio, but he ticked a box that was called casual sex, and it led to a certain
You cannot say that on the radio.
Okay, sorry. Let's just edit that out with a 3-second
delay. We've just been
delay.
Taken off air. It's over. Now, of course, it's candid. We love candor on FUBAR Radio. Shazia Mirza.
I can be candid.
How about you? Now, am I allowed to ask you about your relationship status?
No, sorry. It's against my religion.
Hashtag, it's complicated.
No. I'm engaged to a lovely man.
Congratulations.
He's Irish. You've met him.
Have I met him? Yeah. He's a very fine man, and we like a bit of Paddy, don't we?
No, I don't have a type, Mark. It's just
she's obsessed with Irish men.
You make him sound like a betting shop.
She moved
Paddy Power.
She moved to Dublin for 4 years. And she just
he's actually
at the
from
man.
The countryside in Cork.
Oh, that's a worry.
And he's a silver fox. He's got white hair, and he's a lot older than me, and he's very rich. And when he dies very soon, hopefully, I'll take all what he's got.
Yes. Know? You're like, darling.
You have to think ahead. Smart.
Yeah, you're like, darling, have another Guinness.
I'm like Jerry Hall.
Well, you most certainly are. You're
the older, the better.
Supermodel material, woman of substance. Tell me, so did you meet him on...
I met him after a gig, actually.
You didn't meet him at O-Tinder...
Oh,
Otinder.com.
No. I mean, this was in the days, old-fashioned, natural way. I met him at the King's Head in Islington one night after a gig about 10 years ago.
Had he seen you on stage?
No, he was in the bar just having a drink with friends. He didn't know who I was.
Nice.
Didn't
obviously,
know what
that's
I did.
A bit of an Irish thing to
and
do.
And I love that.
It's nice that he liked
know
you
who
for
I
you.
Was.
Yeah.
And
that
then
is
he,
good.
He didn't know what I did. He didn't know anything about me. That's what I loved
my
most.
My wife is still very much that way.
Really?
Yeah.
Has she ever seen you do comedy?
She's like, what is it you do again? I'm like, even I don't know.
Yeah,
I think that's the best. I think when they're too interested or too affected by what you do, then it's just they're with you for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So you met him in a bar. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, my girlfriend first saw me on stage do it, and she remembered a particular joke. So it's the exact opposite. It's as bad as it could be, given those criteria. It definitely did see me on stage first, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. But she's a comedian anyway.
The problem for us comics is that, I think it's fair to say, and my missus would argue this, that you see the very, very best of us on stage. As in, yeah. Together, vaguely smart and
all
clean.
Or the worst, Mark, I mean.
Well, it can be.
If you're dying, if you're on stage dying.
Well, that's a good point. If it's not going well, you're in trouble. But
sometimes girls can't tell if that. Someone came up to me when I bombed, and they were like, it was a really nice girl, liked me after the gig, and I was like, did you see that? It was awful. But they didn't seem to notice.
But
even.
A man on stage, a woman, a lot of women fancy any man on stage.
I've noticed.
Regardless of what you're saying or what you're doing.
But
he's on stage.
What you had there is called by an ex of mine, it's the sympathy shag.
Oh, I didn't. It wasn't a shag. But actually, I had a girlfriend.
It was
time,
a sympathy hug.
Sympathy like. Yeah. But my girlfriend's a comedian, I should point out, so she hasn't.
Is
doesn't
she?
Fall for,
what's,
yeah,
her,
yeah.
What's her name?
Maria. She's got two Egyptian parents as well. Just throwing that out there while we're talking about.
Maria Shahata.
Oh, this is going to get a bit weird, isn't it?
Is it Maria Shahata?
Yeah, it is actually. I don't like the face Shazia's doing though.
Well, all we can do is wish you a very, very...
This got a bit too weird. I don't...
Now, what we have to do is...
I don't like this.
I'm going to do move on to our next thing. So,
what does that face mean?
Everyone needs to know what they're listening to, and this is a way of achieving that.
Mark Dolan eats the
news. What is oh my God mean?
Your mics are still up. You are such silly sausages. You know, Nick Dixon can't eat... By the way, so there's an issue here, because Nick's revealed who his girlfriend is. Shazia is clearly not impressed... And now that I've only got two guests on this show and they've fallen out. So
know,
I think
I
Adam, my producer, I'm just going
to
play records for the rest of the hour. They've actually, you've lost all sense of, they've lost all sense of being on the radio.
She's good friends with Olivia Lee.
This is now too relaxed.
She is indeed, yeah. I don't know where this is going though. I'm
a lot of my friends in LA.
I tell you what I'm going to do, just to save time. So, Maria, what's her surname?
I don't know if I'm comfortable with this now because...
That's why we love it.
How long have you been going out with her?
A little while. Why?
I don't know.
Are we still on the radio?
I'm married to a Maria, and they're great.
Thanks, Mark.
I've never met a Maria that wasn't fantastic.
And did you meet her in LA?
It was more. It's more your face when
it's
you
a
said
good name.
Because I knew her. I was like, oh,
Maria.
I know
what? What's she called?
Everyone
listening.
Knows everyone in comedy.
Oh, I want you guys to do. You're listening to this on a smartphone by definition. Let's Google Maria. What's her surname?
Shahata. S H E.
All my Egyptian friends in LA.
Oh, look! Do you know what? She's quite big because I haven't completely written her name and
She's been doing a lot of gigs in Europe.
I'm being offered it by Google.
Yeah,
halfway through her name.
That all makes sense, doesn't it?
Right, Maria Shahata is absolutely beautiful. Congratulations. If I had an applause sound effect, I would play it now.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you are punching above your weight. What is going on? There she is on
mate.
This is the beach.
And
then I've got all her ex-boyfriends here. That's a lot of pages.
Mark, yeah. I've just had...
Why is that guy naked? That's a very large penis.
Mark, I've just...
Anyway, yes, go on.
I've just had a message from somebody on Twitter, and they want a shout-out. Can I shout-out?
Oh, shout-out. We do shout-outs.
Okay.
We do charge for them. But that's fine.
I've just had a message from my girlfriend. We're not going out anymore. No, I'm joking.
Congratulations to you, Maria. You know what? She is beautiful, undoubtedly clever and funny. You're funny, and I think it's going to work beautifully.
Say to Maria... Mina Dimian is one of my really good friends.
Okay.
He's a really good friend of hers. He's Egyptian. Okay.
All right, now what's the shout out before we crack on with the show and eat the news?
This is one of my fans, Scott. Scott, he wants a shout out.
Hey, Scotty, good to have you on board. That's also a cool name, Scott.
Scott Greengrass.
He sounds creative.
He wants a shout out. So I say, hi, Scott. Thanks for listening. And I hope that you're going to come to one of my shows soon. He lives in Norwich.
Oh, that's a shame. FUBAR Radio, Scotty Greengrass, thanks for listening to the show. Great to have you on board. I've got a project for Scott and for all of our listeners out there. This coming week is International Women's Day, and therefore it's a day where you celebrate womankind. I'd like your tweets for greatest woman. Now I'm going to need some help here. Shall we go living or dead or just living? I think living. I think there's
living.
Enough. I think
living.
We'll go living.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
living.
It's going to be like Florence Nightingale. I mean, I'm so over Florence Nightingale. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
Just a great
overrated,
nurse.
Overrated, mate. Overrated.
Very great, great nurse. Brilliant. Move on.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of bandaging.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of hot toddies. Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Thanks for nothing.
Yeah. I didn't know you were going to go
there.
Do
you know what I mean? Florence Nightingale. You know, it's not Hillary Clinton.
No, good point.
You're not at the apex of a political dynasty.
Yeah.
It's not Maggie. So, greatest woman living to celebrate International Women's Day, which is this week.
It's me.
I'm going to go Maria Shahata.
Well, Shazia Mirza is on this show because you could be... I mean, I hate this thing, female comic. But if we're going to segregate, I would say that I think you're my favourite female comic.
No
yes, you are.
No way, Mark.
You are. Well, who else
you're
is there?
You're just saying that because we met in a sauna.
Yeah. Well, you're my favourite in terms of your body. Yes. Because, by the way, Mirza, she obviously looks after herself. Because
I
looked at you
I
and
like
I thought,
swimming.
I just thought, this woman doesn't never eat carbs.
No, I swim a lot.
You do, yeah. You're like a bloody dolphin in that water.
Do you think so?
Yeah, you're like a killer whale.
It's those
but
fins.
But like a slim, like,
it's those fins.
More killer than whale.
It's all that hair that ploughs me along.
Yes, it is.
My hairy legs.
And also, like a killer whale, no one's ever sure whether you're a mammal or a fish.
Yeah, whatever, Mark. Everyone's clear about what I am.
So, International Women's Day. There is an International Men's Day, but it's less popular. And I think that's because it's harder to celebrate rape,
every
war.
Every day is Men's
driving.
Day. They get 365 days a year. Women get one day. Stop moaning.
What do you think about these days? And do the ladies need one?
Look, I think women are still on the back foot. In terms of pay, equal opportunities, there's not that many women in comedy compared to men, in law, in medicine, in science, in politics. Women are still on the back foot. They're still fighting for equal rights.
Yeah.
Especially women in the Middle East and places like that.
Sure.
I mean, in Europe, in Sweden, in Scandinavian countries, they're a bit more ahead. But, you know, there's still women fighting to be able to work, fighting to be able to drive a car.
Yeah.
Of course we need this day just to make the world aware that women are still struggling.
And the big imponderable is how society squares the fact that we want, I think predominantly anyone with a brain wants equality and wants women like in the workplace to be equal. There's this biological thing which gets in the way sometimes, which is having babies. And always the age-old debate is how do employers sort of fast-track and promote females if then, and it has happened in lots of workplaces that I've been involved with, where a female has joined a company and then within 6 months got pregnant, which is what happens. We all wouldn't be here if that didn't happen. And then like had gone and have three children and never really been able to work full time for perhaps 5 or 6 years.
But you know, Mark, things are changing now because now you have gay men having children. So although they're not giving birth, they're still having kids and they're having to take time off as parents, as men. So things are going to have to move a bit forward now, where people are, men and women are treated a bit more equally. You know,
is it laws? Is it just a case of making sure that the employers don't really have an option, and that if females, well, first of all, equal pay, obviously, for equal positions, but maybe some laws around maternity and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to have to improve. But there's also positive discrimination, where a lot of people say, oh, well, women, they get a head start, you know, when they need women in companies, you know, they have a quota. So women are just getting jobs because they're women. Or it's normally the woman, you know, or a black woman or an Asian woman. We need some of them. Or, and so there's the other side where people say, oh, well, they're also getting a leg up.
I remember years ago, a senior executive at the BBC had a conversation with me about the casting for a show I was involved in, and I recommended somebody that was Asian, and she said, oh yes, great, we love a bit of multi-culti.
wow that's
and that's when you called me up.
That's when I did. You got the gig. You were grateful for the gig. Obviously you were paid half of what
the problem with quotas,
what the guys were,
the problem with quotas is people then feel like they only got it because of that, you
know.
And that's the problem. Why can't we just have total merit? Am I a dreamer? Just total everything based on merit. Is that crazy?
Well, I don't know. I think females would say that a lot of guys are not there on merit, well, but just because of their manhood.
The thing is, because there is discrimination against certain people, you kind of have to have a quota to get the ball rolling.
Do you know a TV... this is controversial, though. A TV comic on the TV a lot said he tried to get someone he recommended on the show he's on, and they said, we can't because he's white. How do you feel about that?
Is that true?
Yeah. It's true, because, you see, it's a tough time to be a white man. I'm just going to say it.
Is that true? He's white.
Yeah. Then I asked the guy, I followed it up a bit. Turned out they basically said it, but they said it in, we have too many people that look like that. So it's not quite the same thing, but it's
terrible. The circuit is full of white young boys in skinny jeans, big hair, same job. It is rather generic out there.
Yeah, it's hard though for a white, slightly older boy without skinny jeans. Me and Mark are both facing this.
Yeah, we're screwed.
Just a white guy, around 30, let's say. what have we got? Where's your niche?
I think it's the biggest challenge in our society. And I think ultimately...
What, being a white man?
Well, yeah, obviously. But I think, in terms of particularly of females in economic context and in the context of a business, let's say it's an independent outfit and they've got a handful of staff, it's that situation where the boss, who might be female by the way, is hiring and is looking to invest in people to build their business, and the business is not even turning over a profit yet, and they interview a female who's 28 and has just got married, and they're thinking to themselves, this person is going to have kids at some point in the next few years. And I've heard radio interviews or radio phone-ins where female bosses have called up with the same dilemma. So I wonder whether it's more of a dilemma for capitalism, that capitalism has to just adapt to the fact that we're human beings and we have different biological callings at different stages.
But the number of women that are not having children, I mean, that's less than the number of women that are having children. So they're going to have to, in the pool of things, they're going to have to employ women that it's very likely they're going to have kids, you know? So they're going to have to go along with that. And, you know, we have lesbians having kids these days. We have gay people having kids.
It's a very, very good point you raise.
It's everybody's involved in this.
You haven't had a chance to think about this, but we were putting this shout out on Twitter of greatest living females in celebration of International Women's Day. Nick Dixon, any ideas?
Hashtag Shazia Mirza.
I'm going to go...
Obviously. You're trending already, as is your coat.
Oh, my God. Somebody's just tweeted that, actually. That's hilarious. And they copied you in, Mark.
That's fantastic. I can't wait to get that open.
The greatest woman living is definitely Shazia Mirza. That is hilarious.
This is your stooge that you've got tweeting things in.
That's hilarious.
I'm trying to find this because I saw it come up on the monitor, but I can't find it. But I'm going to still go Maria Shaharta number one. And then, this is good because no one's listening even now. And number two, Karen Brady.
Oh, that's a great shout.
Birmingham City Football Club.
Well, I'm a United fan, but I just think, you know, just for achievements in general. People, she's not that popular at the moment because of that vote thing recently, but yeah.
Cilla Black was my greatest living woman. I just used to adore that woman, and she passed away only a few months ago.
Have you thought of a new one in the last few months?
No, it's all the dead ones.
Soon.
I like. Okay. Audrey Hepburn, you know. No, I'm working on. I mean, obviously, my wife is clearly the, and my mother.
You prefer dead women,
and
ideally,
my auntie Bernie.
I love men that love their mothers. It says a lot about the man.
It's terribly important, isn't it?
Yeah, even the Krays. Do you remember the Krays? Love their mother.
Yeah.
Love their mother. Oh yeah. Killed everyone else.
They
never touched the mother.
They also liked each other quite a lot, if you believe some of the rumours. Anyway.
Well, there you go. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to keep that. We've got some tweets coming in for greatest living female in celebration of. Already, I feel compromised doing that sort of text there because it just feels patronising. Strange.
Yeah.
But we'll do it. We'll do it anyway. It hasn't stopped us in the past. Let's move on to, and actually, Nick, you've got a story there. Why don't you kick us off with this? It's quite compelling.
Oh, you want me to introduce it? You want me to do your job?
Go on then. I'm going to have a cup of tea and relax.
I'm not even getting paid. So,
are we not getting paid?
I don't think so. Mercer's
just put a coat back on.
They told me.
It's networking and exposure. You network with Mark and then eventually
you let you come to his pool party. I'm on the Soho Theatre tonight. I'm doing a whole run at Soho this week. It's all sold out, but the dates have been extended.
Congratulations. By popular demand. What's the title of the show?
The Kardashians Made Me Do It.
Genius. Genius. And it's an hour of what?
About ISIS and jihadi brides. And it's sold out this week, but I've extended the run 21st to the 25th of March. Tickets are available, sohotheatre.com.
Bang. Do it. Shazzy.
Great. Some people do that at the end of the show, but no, it's just straight in.
Shameless. But it's worth it. The woman's a genius.
Well,
go and see her.
We're not getting paid.
Girl, you're absolutely right.
Nick Dixon, what have you got?
What have I got? I've got this story about commuting. Is this the one we want?
Yeah, go for it.
Basically, what's happened is, all that's happened here is Ford have released a thing called Go Drive, and they're actually promoting it by releasing this story. That's the subtext. But basically, this is an article about how much time you spend commuting in your life. A lot is the answer. Apparently, some people, if they have a 45-minute journey each way, that's 2 years of their life commuting to work. And throughout this article, it keeps saying that in a year of your life, you could watch 10,000 films. I'm like, who's created this? Is it Steven Spielberg? It keeps comparing it to how many films you could watch.
It is, yeah.
As if that's all you
Sponsored
could do with the
by
time.
The DreamWorks studio.
You could also read Man's Search for Meaning many times.
You certainly could. And
still be searching for the meaning.
Exactly.
And the loser. Okay.
So this is all about commuting. I was thinking about this as comedians. Commuting is kind of the whole thing, isn't it? We can't really cut out the commute. Then we're just telling jokes at home into a mirror.
The reason why I wanted to discuss this with you guys, and I'm glad you've raised it, Nick Dixon, which is that I just wonder whether, given that our big cities are now chock full of human souls, lots of people are moving further out. And I just wonder whether that sort of Reggie Perrin commuting culture is basically on a sort of comeback and here to stay. Because if you want to live in more than a rabbit hutch, even within Zone 5 of London, you might just need to get into Hertfordshire or one of the home counties and commute. So commuting is massive. And I just wonder what we think about that in terms of the impact it's going to have on our lives and on our society.
Well, I don't know if you've been to Shoreditch recently. My gosh, I think ISIS have moved in, haven't they? Everybody's got a beard. Everybody looks the same.
It's like white ISIS, isn't it?
It's like, and do you know what? I remember 10 years ago when that area was like called Murder Mile. Nobody wanted to live there. Nobody wanted to go near there. And now everything's £1 million. And it's just white.
Now just the price is a murder. Nothing else.
I mean, that's all. And it's out. And it's... Every area has been whitenized.
Correct.
You mean gentrification? I feel like white people are being really stigmatized on this show, Mark. I think we're really against the wall.
White bashing big time.
It's not just white. I haven't got any money. It's like, let's not assume that it's white people having money. It's just people with money coming in and.
But most of them are white, Nick. That's
damn
the
those
thing.
White people. They're at it again. I missed out on this white person party. I really did.
I don't know. Some of my favourite white people are having trouble finding somewhere to live.
No, but you're missing.
We always forget class in that argument, by the way. What about like people who've been to comprehensive schools? You know, compared to public school people, let's bring that into the debate instead of just saying white people. This
no,
is
but
getting
the thing
really controversial.
Is, with gentrification is a lot of culture diminishes. So all the culture, the black culture that was in,
Brixton, Peckham,
Walthamstow, Shoreditch, all that culture has disappeared.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't get that anymore. And that's what happens with gentrification.
Yeah, we still have a bit of it in Finsbury Park, but it's on the verge of going. I reckon when Pax Wig World disappears, that's when it'll have really gone.
But here's the thing.
Very local.
Shazia, we are where we are. And the bottom line is so many people I know are just moving out. The question is it a good thing?
Is it a good thing that people are like just flocking to Watford and St Albans?
No, it's not.
And
no, it's terrible. It's not,
and Croydon.
It's not.
Terrible.
Because why is it bad?
Great art and great culture and great food and great integration. It happens when you have a lot of different people from different cultures, different backgrounds, different classes. And when that gentrification happens, all of that dies.
Right. So you would say that Shoreditch, which is a very prosperous area, but full of bohemians, you'd say it's a veneer of creativity, but in reality it's like a
David
it's
Bowie
a dead thing.
Was brought up in Brixton in the 50s and 60s when it was black culture which influenced his work and his music. You go to Brixton now, what has happened to that black culture? It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
I've seen that. I mean, I don't think it's completely sort of homogenised, is it, Brixton?
It's very, very white now. It's totally different. And the house price is so expensive.
But here's the thing. I feel like we're sort of just howling at the moon on this one. This is how it is. It's not going to change, is it? So where do we go from here?
Yeah, well, unless they can build enough houses, but they need to build like 250,000 a year, and the closest they ever get is about half of that. So unless they build the houses, it's never going to happen.
Okay, which takes us on to the debate of EU and in or out and the question of Brexit. I don't happen to be privileged as to know where you guys stand on Brexit and Brexit or to not Brexit. The latest thing is General Sir Michael Rose, who's the former head of the SAS and a significantly influential military man,
he said
that Britain would be safer outside the EU because he said you can equate sovereignty with security. What do we think? Nick Dixon, are you in or are you out?
This is crazy. You've given us like 10 stories to research and this isn't one of them.
I know, because I like you're at your best when you're improvising. Did you know that?
Well, not on this subject, because I really don't know. I don't think anyone understands.
You actually don't know.
Well, I don't think anyone understands the issue well enough. Maybe some people do, maybe, but I don't. I've never been able to figure out if we're better off in or out. And I asked my brother, he's very clever and he works for the Bank of England in regulating the economy. He doesn't seem to know. I don't know how you know, unless you do it as a sort of emotional, cultural thing where you just say, oh, we don't want to be in Europe because they've taken too much power off us. But that seems to be, no one seems to know if it's really a good thing or not. What do you think?
I'm in, because I think that ultimately it's exactly like a private members club, which is that you're not quite sure what you're paying for, but just that access to an exclusive group of other humans seemed like a good idea to me.
You
it's
like
an exclusive
VIP access to Brussels.
I do, really. I do.
Europe.
It's got a special. There's a special entrance which we've got access to. We know the code word.
That sounds disgusting, Mark.
Just a little bit disgusting. therefore, how about you, Mirza? In or out?
In. I think we should stay in the EU. You know, if this country, if something happens, terrible recession, which is likely, it's been predicted again, worse recession than 2008. You know, who's going to bail us out? Who are we going to depend on? In terms of security, in terms of safety, I think it's better that we stay in the EU. And it's going to make life very difficult for the expats that already live in Spain and France and places like that. They're going to have to get visas, and it's going to be very problematic.
Yeah. Well, somebody said, there's a good point, that how many expats are there living in the EU? Something around 2 million.
Yeah.
So, and these people, it has been said, and was it said by a Labour MP, actually, that a lot of them are in their 60s and 70s, quite... Well, they're people who are going to be tapping into the resources of our health service and our welfare budget as well, which sounds clinical and horrible, but that's the reality.
And also, the criminals living in Spain are all going to come back here, and this country is going to be flooded with Ronnie Biggs types.
It's true, because Marbella at the moment is like a modern-day Botany Bay,
honestly.
Isn't it? Okay, we are looking at so many issues today. We've got International Women's Day coming up, and I've got
like
lots
it,
of tweets.
Mark, how you describe that as an issue.
Well,
Women's Day is coming up.
It's a problem to be dealt with.
If you've met my wife, you'll know it is. Harry has said Angelina Jolie, beautiful woman and a great humanitarian. Paula, Oprah, without a shadow of a doubt. Dame Ellen MacArthur is the offering of grace. Paul Clark has said, greatest woman alive is my mum. There you go. It is attractive. It's a very charming thing. We've also got International Book Day on Twitter.
Ellen's good, isn't she?
Ellen is hilarious. Ellen DeGeneres, yeah. Big fan of hers. Hayley has said the Harry Potter series. I can't pick a favourite one. Rob the Hobbit, J.R.R. Tolkien. And
is
Frank,
that his name, Rob the Hobbit?
Yeah, that's it. And I've seen his mugshot and it is accurate. It's got an amazingly small face. Frank, the man in the high castle, read the book before Amazon got their hands. Oh,
Philip,
sorry.
Philip K. Dick.
It's good that I can't read, isn't it? Read the book before Amazon get their hands on it. Philip K. Dick, the man in the high castle. Is that short stories or is that an actual book book?
I think it's a short book.
It's an actual book book. Of course, this is a guy who one of his short stories was turned into Blade Runner.
Yeah. And also, Minority Report was him, Through a Scanner Darkly. They've made films out of so many of his things.
Bang. Tom says, my favourite book is H.G. Wells's The War of the Worlds. We're going to talk about the ageing process after I remind you what this is.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
OK, we've got a story that Nick Dixon is actually across. Getting to the root of grey hair. Scientists discover why we lose our youthful locks, and they say that you could one day prevent it. The bottom line is, what's the point in all of us delaying the ageing process if ultimately we all just look like 25 forever? Aren't there some advantages to growing old gracefully?
I'm so glad you picked the one story I had no prepared jokes for, because that will make me my best, like you said, improvising. Sorry, grey hair. Mark, what do you think?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I throw these stories at you. You're not prepared. And then you throw it back to me and then I get to talk more on the radio and say what I think.
So you weren't prepared either.
I'm torn, really. I think it's very... Actually, I have an answer for you. Here we go. I think that the aging process is fine if it suits you. Now, what I mean by that is some guys go bald. And they've got a great shaped head. They cut all their hair off really short. They look good, like Bruce Willis. There are some people who lose their hair. They cut it all, and it's William Hague.
This is an issue much closer to my heart than greying. I'm not so bothered about greying.
Well, there you go. But it's the same thing with grey hair. I know people who have grey hair. They look amazing. Probably the most considered to be eligible, attractive man in Hollywood is George Clooney. He actually has grey hair, or, you know, sort of pepper. What is it? Pepper, salt and pepper, silver fox thing.
Yeah.
But then there are others who have grey hair that don't look so good. Alistair Darling, the former Chancellor of the Exchequer, who had grey hair, but then very, very dark black eyebrows, oddly enough. It's funny how all my ugly people are politicians, and what's that all about.
Yeah. That may be the issue, whether they're actually Hollywood movie stars.
So here's
or
what
English
I think, team. I think some people age really well, and they actually look better, and they sort of grow into their face. And in, like, for example, Prince Charles, okay? Now, I think, actually, he's cut quite a dashing figure these days. You know, he's a bit jowly and his hair's a bit thinning, but he wears these great 2,000 quid suits. And I think there's something quite debonair about him. He'd look odd if he had liposuction and his neck tightened up and God knows what else. So I don't know what you... So my answer is, I think if it suits you, yes. But there are some people, Shazia, and I'm going to put it out there right now, that the aging process is just unkind to them. And why shouldn't they be allowed to fight it?
Well, I mean, these days, I don't know if you've heard of this, but male plastic surgery is on the rise. Men are having more Botox and fillers. And I just think this is terrible, because there's some things you just can't hide. Yes, you might have a face that looks 20, but your kneecaps and toes will give it away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, you can have your face Botox to hell, but... when you strip off in front of a woman, there's things that are going to give it away. You're not as young as you look, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think you should let it just all just be. I mean, I love older men. I love really old men.
Now, listen, isn't this back... and we're betting a little bit back to a feminist vibe here, which isn't society a bit prejudiced, whereby society thinks men get better with age like a fine wine.
Yeah.
And women, once they turn sort of 40, are just basically invisible.
It's the same. It's the Bruce Forsyth thing, you know? There's 105-year-old man on the telly. Where is the 105-year-old woman? Yeah. You never get a woman.
Well, Jerry Halliwell's on telly quite a lot.
Yeah, she is, but... I mean, Bruce Forsyth, I mean, he's very, very, very
Jerry Halliwell remembers the First World War.
You're all talking about cosmetic things. The wider issue is working on old age in general. There's a lot of people now who want to get rid of old age in general. They want to get rid of all the diseases associated with old age and actually cure aging. That's like a movement now in science.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, I just wonder how much energy we should expend on looking good, and whether we fight this. I think the problem is that if we all look 25, it's going to be harder to stand out, isn't it?
Are you still worried about your comedy niche? Like,
of course, I am.
25 and another 25-year-old looking white guy.
That's exactly right.
Ultimately, this one is still being kicked into the long grass by the scientists because, in fact, they haven't found a cure for balding or indeed for grey locks, but it's in the pipeline.
I'm amazed they haven't found a cure for balding because there's so much money in that.
Balding is hereditary, though. It's from the mother's side.
Well, they say that. I don't even totally believe that because, for me, I don't totally believe that.
Look at Prince William.
Yeah. You can take pills, allegedly. You can take.
I mean, let's be honest about it. We're tiptoeing around this subject. Prince William looked a hell of a lot more handsome when he had hair.
He should have taken the pills. Loads of people take them. Papisha, just take them.
It's not like the contraceptive pill. Should have taken the pills.
Can I ask you that?
Is he on the pill?
Loads of comedians are taking them, and I can give you
Prince
names.
Prince William.
I can.
Prince William is a good example. And this is difficult because I like the guy.
Yeah.
I think he's been through a lot in his life. I think he's a very decent human being.
Yeah, so do I.
However...
His wife's a bit of a witch.
Careful. You're talking about the woman. Kate Middleton is a screensaver on my phone, for God's sakes.
Even
my wife accepts that. She's like, yeah, fair enough.
Do you really like her?
Oh, my God. She's
you're
amazing.
The only man I've ever met.
Kate Middleton?
She's, oh, my God.
Okay, here's what I was quickly say about Kate Middleton. Let's get this sorted out.
So English, Mark.
Basically, whenever someone is like a princess, you've always got to say, oh, she's so beautiful because she's a princess. And they're quite often mingers. But it's because they're a princess and they've got a tiara. They're like, oh, isn't she pretty? It's like, well, okay, we're all going to say that, are we? Is that it? Is that what we're doing here? Kate Middleton is actually beautiful. Like, I mean...
Did you hear that silence, Mark?
Do you not agree?
You're the only man I've ever met that has said that they
she's
fancy...
She's babe central.
Oh, no, she's definitely hot, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Mark, it's like desperately looking to be for people. Yeah, she definitely is. I just don't love it. I'm not got a screensaver on my phone of it.
In that public school, private school
That's
kind
what
of
it is.
Way. Yeah, she's hot. Yeah.
You're right. She'd be like the sister of one of my fags at Eton.
Okay, what do you think of Pippa then?
Yeah, I mean, all the macho men like Pippa more because they think she's a bit naughty. Like, she's like the slightly wrong...
I've heard she's very boring.
...younger sister. But I know, I think, oh, I'm going to put it out there, I think Kate is prettier. I think she's a beautiful lady. And good luck to her. However, William, he was cut quite a dashing figure in his teens. He lost the hair.
Stress and trauma.
Really?
I think when his mother died in such a horrific way... That affects men's stress and trauma.
Well, what happened to Prince Edward then?
What about Harry though? Harry's got loads of thick ginger hair.
Yeah, but Harry's adopted. He's got another father, hasn't he?
Well, you could possibly say that. I don't wish to be taken out by. Secret Services.
That's allegedly. I mean,
I don't want to spend,
got a lot of friends
I don't want
the
to spend
family,
the rest of my life in the tower. Let's crack on because I want to ask you. Actually, Nick, you're very, very vocal about the stories you'd like to run. Let's hit the kind of Dixon checklist of key stories that you've got material about, and we'll finish out the show on those things. You're actually furiously going through them now.
I've got a little bit about the asexual story. I've got a bit about Bill Gates. I don't know. I don't just go through all my terrible prepared bits. Yeah, let's do that, actually. There's a story about asexual reproduction. Why is that? I don't know. It's why it's a story now, but whether that's better than sexual reproduction.
Okay, let's get us into this. Here we go. This is a story that was found on the Mail online. Will humans always need to have sex? Researchers reveal why some animals have become asexual. The reason why, in terms of evolution, organisms have sex may seem rather obvious. They do it to reproduce. Clearly, natural selection must favour individuals who can reproduce over those who can't. But this is missing the point. For many species, there is an alternative, asexual reproduction. So why has sex evolved in so many species? Surprisingly, there's no single clear answer to this question. Indeed, to date, researchers have developed more than 20 different hypotheses. The bottom line is, we don't have sex anymore. I think this is one of the cleverest articles that's been written this year. The bottom line is, sex is on the way out.
I agree with you, Mark.
I heard that in Japan they're not having sex anymore, and it's also going to happen here.
Well, I've heard in Japan, and I don't know if this is a lazy stereotype, but let's run with it anyway, which is that in Japanese culture, once married couples, once they get married and have kids, they just stop having sex, and it's actually just a cultural thing, and that traditionally the guy then takes a mistress, and that this is like part of... I mean, France is like that, for God's sake.
No, I read a different article, and it must be right, because I read it in a Guardian article about how... they're all just not even getting married anymore or even bothering with relationships. They're just messing around on their phones and stuff, and that's enough now.
Now, listen, I'm so glad you said this because this gives me a chance to do a plug, but I think it has real value, this plug.
On Wednesday, something very special is happening in London's famous West End at the iconic Hippodrome venue, which has played host to Cliff Richard, Rolf
Joey
Harris,
Halliwell.
Jimmy Savile. No, and Mark Dolan. Jerry Halliwell, correct. She was there during the Blitz, keeping the home fires burning. Listen, I'm starring in a show on Wednesday called The Sex Guru.
Are you?
Really?
Yeah. And I'm very excited about it. It's a two-hour... like extravaganza, and it's a show all about sex, how we came to be here today, Nick Dixon. I don't mean an Uber taxi. I mean your parents getting it on. And it's based on a body of work by the renowned Austrian sexologist Wolfgang Weinberger.
He's good.
Oh yeah.
And it's a classic piece of work, and just like me, and I'm going to be presenting a whole range of OMG facts about sex in the 21st century. And one of the biggest is that 25% of people aged 30 do not have sex anymore, and it's either because they're single, they can't find a partner, or because they can't be asked, and they've got the internet, they've got broadband, they've got iPhones with an HD display. So they don't need a girlfriend anymore, go figure. So there's an issue here. And also, because of the developments of medical science, you don't really have to make love to someone anymore to make a baby. Because I know I'm a big fan of Elton John and David Furnish. No, I'm not a fan of David Furnish. That would be strange. I'm a big fan of Elton John. He's had two children. I can tell you, I'm not a doctor, I can tell you that that did not come as a result of Elton John making love to David Furnish.
But does he come fully furnished?
Yes, he is very well upholstered. Be careful. I don't want you to alienate me from those people. One day I will have lunch with those men. That's my main single career. That's my main single career goal before I die, is to have lunch with Elton John.
Elizabeth Hurley's friends with Elton John and David Furnish.
Oh, that's a downside.
And do you know what? That he bought.
She
her,
might be there.
He bought her a diamond for Christmas. I gave her a diamond.
Sorry, Elton John bought her a diamond for Christmas.
Do you want this?
Real diamond.
Sorry.
That's amazing.
That's why you need to be friends
with
these
people. That's
the
first time that a man has ever bought something like a diamond for Liz Hurley and not wanting...
anything
more than
term.
A bit of
that's
wow.
What,
do people still do that gesture?
You can buy Elton John's latest album, or you can stream it. It's called Wonderful Crazy Night, and it's one of his best albums in years.
Mark,
now,
do you want this joke I
go,
wrote?
Let's
this
have
asexual
it.
Thing.
Let's have it.
I especially wrote this for the show.
Wonderful Crazy Night that was. That's one of the songs. Go on.
Here comes the. Oh, I'm just. You might want to use this in your.
No,
thing.
I'll take this.
I sound like one of those fans. You might want to try and use this, mate, in your routine. Because apparently, the daughters of asexual reproduction are genetically identical copies to their mothers. But don't say that to them unless you want to sleep in the spare room. That was the joke, guys.
That's actually...
is this on?
It's another good joke from Nick Dixon.
I wrote that last night.
Nick, you're a very funny man. I'm going to get my plug out of the way. I just want to say that Sex Guru is at the Hippodrome. It is happening at 7:30 on Wednesday night. And here's the thing. It's a press night. We want to fill it up. I've got free tickets to give away. A limited number of free tickets. So at FUBAR Radio... in fact, no, don't do that. Go straight to me, at Mr. Mark Dolan. And I can invite you on Wednesday to the Hippodrome for a brilliant live comedy show about sex. Everything you want to know about sex, we're afraid to ask. And we'll have a drink afterwards. So at Mr. Mark Dolan, hit me up. You can also book tickets through my website, mark@markdolan.com. How do we see Nick Dixon? We've heard your jokes today. So what's your Twitter handle?
They're not the jokes I don't understand.
We love your jokes. What's your Twitter
at
handle?
At Nick Dixon with two X's at the moment, because someone's got my real name, which is very frustrating. So I've put at Nick Dixon with a double X in the middle as a way of...
I like
that.
It makes me happy. It reminds me of TK Maxx, which is currently my favourite shop. Shazia, how do people come and see you? I know that you're sold out at the Soho Theatre. You don't really need to plug,
do
you?
My name is Shazia Mirza, and my Twitter address is ShaziaMirza1, because somebody has Shazia Mirza. Can you believe that?
That's annoying. My guy's just an egg who's got Nick Dixon. Never posted, just an egg.
Yeah, mine neither, never post. And I'm on at Soho Theatre all this week. The Kardashians made me do it. It's sold out, but the run has been extended 21st to the 25th of March.
All right.
I'm currently supporting Tom Stade on tour.
Are you?
And I'm at the Comedy Store Friday, March 11th. And I'm doing a taping for Comedy Central on Monday. I'm just trying to compete with.
So are you actually? Are you starting?
I'm just listing my diary to compete with your ridiculous plugging of your show.
I can tell you, Mark's sex guru thing. I don't know what that is,
but
you're both very, very successful and very brilliant. And you are both my favourite comedians. I love your brains, and that's why I like your comedy. Before we go, it's 12:58. Maybe I've got about sort of maybe 50 seconds. Any more? There's a nice article article in The Guardian this week, and maybe we'll finish on this, and its headline is "Goodbye to Curtains and Clutter, How We Learned to Buy Less Stuff." 5 years ago, Kelly Sutton, a 22-year-old software engineer from Brooklyn, got rid of all his possessions except laptop, iPad, Amazon Kindle, two external hard drives. What the hell is this guy? What does he do for a living? A few clothes and sheets. We're living in the era of decluttering. Have you both decluttered, or are you stuff addicts?
Yeah, I've decluttered. I live in a studio flat that, you know, not much in it. They used to be called bedsits. They changed it to studio because it sounds better than wank box. Anyway.
But it's the big new thing, isn't it? It's like the post-hipster generation where we don't want stuff anymore. Materialism is dead. Mirza?
I've decluttered. I like minimalism. I do a lot of meditation and it's very good for the mind. I think if you declutter, it also declutters your mind.
There
I
you
think
go.
Cluttering is actually a mind disease.
I'm going to declutter you two out of the studio. Shazia and Nick, keep it FUBAR.